Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
I love a Kit Kat.
What about like a Reese's Cup?
No.
Who hurt you? Why? Mm-hmm. Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? I'm Eric Williams, and this week, we've got guest Constant Tellis on the pod. He is an incredible comedian. You have definitely seen him on your phone before. Hilarious Greek-American comedian that does Greek mom videos. And I know you know that I can identify with having a passionate parent. Before we get into the conversation with Gus, I'm going to tell you a story that I've been debating telling you for the past few days, only because I'm wondering if it's too much information. But the energy, the messaging of this podcast is that you are not alone in your highs and your lows. I'm currently in a whirlwind of events, as you know, I'm moving next month, and so there's just like no end to craziness. Last past weekend, I was in New Orleans for a wedding. The wedding was unbelievable. It was so stunning. I give my friends so many props for all the rescheduling they had to do. The universe really gifted them with incredible weather. I mean, I know New Orleans is famous for like swampy humidity, heat. It was like dry, gorgeous, 75 the entire time we were there. But of course, we had amazing food, beignets. I got some magic crystals on Bourbon Street. But the story, of course, if you could guess it, it's not a high. This is a low moment. It starts an hour before this wedding. We put on our suits, we get ready to go, and we decide to make a final stroll through Bourbon Street before we head to this wedding. So, of course, there are many drinks, an endless bounty of frozen, slushed drinks you can choose from. So Matt decides, along with my friend, dear friend Alex, to get hurricanes. I famously don't drink a ton, but I love to take a sip or two from Matt's drink. Well, this time, it was too good for me to just take one or two sips. I kept saying, Matt, give me another. Pass that thing down. It was so sweet and yummy and delicious, and I kept slurping down this hurricane. We finish it together and head to this wedding. The wedding was an outdoors, beautiful venue right by in the French Quarter. And at the end of the wedding, there's this tradition called Second Line, I believe. It's like a parade after where you walk down the street, kind of walking into your future together. And the bride and groom had these gorgeous parasols or umbrellas with feathers attached. My friend looked unbelievable in her wedding gown. And then a big brass band leads this parade and you're all dancing behind. I'm telling you, it was so beautiful. We all had white handkerchiefs. We were waving above our heads, dancing down the streets of New Orleans in a gorgeous, crystal clear blue sky day. But something shifts. Something is stirring, shifting ground in my tummy tum. That's right. I start to feel a slight pang in my tummy. And keep in mind, I'm wearing a very tight suit. I, just like many of us in this pandemic, have not kept my original form from 2 years ago. And it was the suit I wore the night before my wedding that was custom made for that person 2 years ago. So she was tight. The pants were tight. Well, I thought to myself, Eric, the pang is because your pants are so fucking tight. So I unbuttoned them. I still have the belt attached. And the pang got a little worse. And Matt, actually, oh, I haven't told the story to anyone. So I'm realizing as I'm telling this that I look over at Matt and I wanted to tell him, hey, my stomach's hurting. But he was live streaming on Instagram. So I didn't want to say in the background of this video, my stomach hurts, as we're like dancing, waving our handkerchiefs in the air. So I type Matt a message on my phone. I just say, hey, my stomach really hurts. And he just looks at me and he's like, what now? I then pretend to stand on the side of the parade to take a video just so I don't get any glances or suspicions. But then as the parade passes that I'm quote unquote videoing, I run straight to a bar. I say to them, hey, you mind if I duck in there? And for whatever reason, the girl working in front was like, yeah, sure. But the guy next to her was like, you're not gonna, are you? Well, sir, I was gonna. And I did. I won't tell you the details of what happened, but it was traumatic. If you want more details, you're disgusting, but also I maybe would be willing to tell you, or maybe I'll put a bonus episode up on the Patreon. I've actually been considering that to give you the full story, but I go back to the wedding and I swear to God, my friends immediately knew something was wrong. And they're like, Eric, are you okay? And I was just trying to play cool because I was mortified. I mean, this was a devastating moment. I just had explosive diarrhea in a random bar in New Orleans straight out of a wedding parade. So I say, yeah, no, everything is completely fine. I'm good, girl. Turns out my face had like completely turned green. They said I looked like shit. And so I had to take a moment, went out to my Airbnb was close by. So we had some Pedialyte there. So I took my moment, had my Pedialyte. But at this time, I was really convinced that I had either food poisoning. Obviously, I was convinced I had COVID, which I know like immediate diarrhea is not a symptom of that. But you know where your brain goes. And I was like, do I take an anxiety pill? I was just really freaking out. But I ended up just taking a breath. My shirt was drenched in sweat. I drank a bunch of Pedialyte and then got back out and went back to that wedding, which luckily was only a few couple of minutes walk away. And the great news is my friends were really understanding. They did jab me a little bit when I finally admitted what had happened. They're like, yeah, you said everything was fine, but we knew it wasn't. So I ended up taking it a bit easy with the food, but I rallied and their band was so god tier next level. Unbelievable music. I ended up dancing the night away, I guess sweating out the rest of the hurricane. But I did feel a lot skinnier than I did before. Anyways, it was a magical night after that. We got back to New York City a couple days ago. And now my parents come in a couple days. We then go to LA to get our apartment this time next week. It's just so much going on, but I'm so happy you're here to witness it. This week, we have Gus Constantelis, an amazing comedian. I put his link to his social media in the notes just to make sure you follow along. This conversation is so good. I had some expectations of what his answers would have been to some of the questions, and he really went in a different direction. We also have a pretty riveting debate about Sister Act 2 that I really want to know your opinion on and see if you agree with Gus or you think he's just making it all up. So please cancel him if you so choose. Enjoy this episode. Follow that Patreon through patreon.com/gayspodcast. This last week we got a couple more people, and even some of you have added to your subscription to the next tier. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support means the world, and I know that I would not be able to continue to do this without people going to that Patreon. So thank you so much. I cannot wait to see what your reaction to the guests that are coming up, and can't wait to see what you think about this episode. Here is Gus Constantelis. You know what's so funny, Gus, is that I just learned something about my AirPods through your TikTok, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my goddamn heart. I lose my AirPods more than you know, and your TikTok, you gave a reaction to this girl who put the AirPods in the top right of her computer, and they just magnetized and stuck there, and you then show yourself doing it, and then you give the same reaction that I probably am about. I literally haven't tried. I watched this 30 seconds ago. So I'm going to try right now putting the microphone down.
That is so funny.
It worked.
Yeah, it works.
I lose these every day that ends in Y. I'm so annoying when I can't find them. And yet I'll just paste them onto my little screen there. And then girly, we have a match.
It's so funny because you do so many videos and whatever and like content. And that was like me just reacting to like this silly AirPods hack, and it like blew up, and I was like, oh, okay. I guess I just need to put like the littlest effort possible sometimes.
Well, there's a whole conversation to be had about that, because first of all, Gus, your videos are so good, but I do agree with you that like whether it is a video you spend 12 weeks on editing and like Martin Scorsese-ing the cinematography, or it's just you laying in bed with a reaction, we still see your magic shine through. I'm learning that if I just have to like do a reaction in a bed, I think I'd rather do that and get people to enjoy it versus I would spend 11 hours on these. The what inspired this podcast was That's a Gay Ass Movie, where I would like break down why movies were gay as hell. I literally spent 11 hours on a 1.5 minute video, and while they were fun and like I wish I had a full like team to help me with them, it's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. It's a fine balance of like, okay, I'm going to put a lot of work into this one idea that I know will be really fun. And I'm going to put less effort and like production value into all this other shit. And like, it really is like, okay, I'm going to just do a 10-second video and that's it. And you know, that's the beauty of TikTok. It's a pro and a con really at the end of the day, because you still have people like putting in so much effort and like doing so much. And like, that's great. But then you have people that are literally just like in their beds or like literally in their cars, just like picking up food at a drive through, just reacting to silly shit they see. And it's like, all right, good.
I think we're too old, honestly. I think if I was younger and I was like really good with the transitions and if I could like throw myself into a shirt, like, sure, I would love to be able to do that.
Oh my God, my entire freaking explore page on Instagram is all those stupid dudes. Like, it's always these like straight dudes with all their outfits, and like most of them are terrible outfits. These are five ways you can wear beige. I'm like, these are terrible outfits. And they're just doing all these like crazy transitions, like the boom, boom, boom,
yes,
boom. You know what I mean? I'm so exhausted by them. I know why Instagram like feeds them to me specifically.
Of course.
But I'm also like, I'm not interested in this. Stop.
I see, I'm not interested in beige number 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5. But what I am interested in is how TikTok is so intense about what they allow for you to be like to put on there in terms of inappropriateness. And yet they will take something down, but then I'll scroll to the next video and I can see the outline of a full, I can see cock, balls, I can see pubic hair, I can see everything coming out of these men's sweatpants, and yet TikTok keeps those videos up. That confuses me.
It's a mystery. It's truly a mystery.
Do you get turned on TikTok? Do you only use it for entertainment and AirPod hacks, or do you actually enjoy seeing the thirsty men on there?
I actually put not interested to the thirsty men. It's really not something I need to see all the time. Because I just go into that like insecure, like comparing cycle where I just like feel bad. So I'm like, this is stupid. I need to get this off my page. And it's always like, if they try to do comedy too, it's like, shut up. Stop this.
We all have a purpose, and yours is not to make us laugh. Yours is to make us thirst or feel bad about ourselves.
Just wear beige. Just leave me alone with this.
Wear beige. Show me your pecs. Show me the outline, and then we'll call it a day. I do agree with that. I was really observing or reflecting on every social media we're on has a different purpose. I think Instagram was built for you to see people's lives unfold and to, yes, maybe feel bad about your own. I think TikTok is there for you to actually just be entertained and laugh and learn hacks. And then I think Twitter is just to make you realize that humanity is screwed and that everyone has a really, really strong opinion that I'm spending less and less time on Twitter because I don't think it's adding any happiness to my life.
Oh, it's exhausting. Twitter is just the worst. I hate Twitter. I don't even like look at Twitter. I only just tweet things out just to like be like, I'm tweeting, but I just can't look at it. It really is exhausting because everyone has an opinion about everything. And if you go deep in to like everything, you're just like, oh, this is just exhausting.
Truly, truly. But speaking of your tweets, I want to say that you had a big old show at Caroline's that was a very big success, and I'm devastated I wasn't in town to see it. But what I do want to say is mazel tov, congrats on being a star. How does it feel to have that done and to like to be where you are?
That night was so fucking awesome. I have to say, like, it was just so perfect. My dad came and my dad was so cute the whole time. He kept laughing at everything. Like, it was so cute because like I would do a punchline and he would like everyone would laugh and then they would look at my dad laughing at the like at laugh. It was just so cute.
He was another character.
He was. It was like another character part of the show. It really was. And then he like at the end, like I do the Greek mom character that I do. I do it live and I do a song and a dance. And my dad came up on stage and he danced with me and it was like super cute. Everyone was crying. It was a whole thing. It was really great.
Oh, my God. I mean,
it was a really great night. Yeah.
That is so special because here's the deal. I think that one of the reasons why I love you and your comedy so much is because it's like so universal of having such a specific culture. And then even though it's like I'm not a Greek person, I still know the feeling of having like, I mean, I don't want to characterize your mom, but I want to say like having maybe a strong personality of a parent.
No, I get that. Yeah, totally.
I was just watching the video of your mom like dragging you or reading her for filth when she was making the fried potatoes. And she was like, that's why I have high cholesterol.
Oh, yeah. No, literally dragged me so much. And then she goes, oh, yeah, get your ketchup. You know, you love ketchup.
You always had a separate plate for ketchup.
Oh my God, she called me out. She called me out.
You know what's funny though about that is that you also had a tweet that was about how diner fries are the best fries ever. And literally me and Matt will have full, and like not as a joke, we have had fights about the fact that I love diners so much. And I think it's even come up on this podcast before. I think diners are my happy place. There's probably some nostalgia there, but like I think that diner fries are the best, diner milkshakes are the best, the energy, the ambiance is where I feel most at home. And one of my favorite things to look forward to is like being high and going to sit at a diner with a couple of friends and just giggling over my eggs and potatoes at 11 p.m.
Yes, I love a diner. I really want to do like a go to every single New York City diner like thing on TikTok. Like yes. I'll never do it. It's like one of those things that's like never going to happen, but I really want to do it. But I love a New York City diner. It's just like my favorite thing to do in the whole world. Like the food is always great.
The only problem with New York City diners for me is that some of them, like this is a Brooklyn diner and it's like $32 for a chicken finger. I'm like,
No. I'm talking like classic diners. I don't want like Williamsburg bullshit diners where it's like, it's called a diner, but it's like just like a new American restaurant. No. I want a diner.
So wait, what are your go-tos?
Okay, I love Neptune and Astoria.
God, I live three blocks away. Keep going.
Oh, really? Oh, I love that place. I love, you know what? I love the Bridgeview Diner in Bay Ridge. I just love that diner.
I've never been.
Pegasus in Bay Ridge. Vegas was great. Vegas was great, but it shut down. So it's gone now. But I used to go there every single Sunday with my dad.
Oh, so another damn them. Wait, what's your order at the diner?
Okay, so if I'm going in the morning, okay. Well, it depends. I either get like a specialty omelet with like feta cheese in it, whatever like the Greek omelet is, I get the Greek omelet, right? Usually with the French fries. No fucking home fries, always the French fries. Or I get two eggs sunny side up with a side of bacon and French fries and sourdough toast.
Sourdough toast.
Or if I'm going at like lunch, dinner, I get a Greek burger.
What's on? Oh, is it more feta?
It's just like literally a burger, yeah, with feta cheese on it. They always have a Greek burger. There's always a Greek burger on a menu. I'll tell you. You'll find it now. You're like, oh, there's a Greek burger. There's like a Mexican burger with like pepper jack cheese and avocado. You know what I mean? There's a Greek burger with feta cheese.
I love that
there's a Philly burger.
Of course there's a Philly burger. I love that we can't generalize like people when it comes to just like you're walking on the earth, but a diner who's probably owned by some random person of like generic white ethnicity is probably like, we're going to make the Mexican burger. And like, we just agree that that's okay.
Yes. No. You know what? And it is. Whatever. I don't care. It's all lives matter. It is what it is.
Diner food is the all lives matter of cuisine.
It's just like there's all bets are off. Okay. There's a diner in Brooklyn that has lobster on the menu. I'm like, that's just what and who orders this?
What we call that, Gus, is a gamble. I'm not ordering
that's
lobster.
And
listen, I'm the first to advocate for diner rights, but I will not advocate for a lobster or a seafood special at a diner. I will not go that far. There are limits to this.
Absolutely not.
I mean, it's so because I'm you know that, especially with TikTok, that there is within a year or two time, there is going to be a Gen Z person who cancels diner owners for putting Greek, Mexican and Philly burgers on the menu.
Oh, 100%.
And then we're going to make a video that's saying, this is why this is horrible. I've always said this is horrible. I've never been a supporter of these burgers.
No, I'm going to be like, leave these burgers alone. How else am I going to know that there's pepper jack cheese on it?
Wow, Gus is gonna be on the controversial side.
I'm gonna swing far right on the diner political, you know, whatever.
I'm fiscally liberal diner conservative.
Don't you know it?
Oh my God, Gus, this is all just so good and so dark. I mean, I just don't know what side I think, especially being a person that creates different content, I really respect you that you were able to swing for the conservative side of the diner battle, because I sometimes get worried about a controversial take only because of like the vitriol of the trolls. Like I even put up a silly video today about Dear Evan Hansen and how like how he runs through the airport and like because all that clip from the movie where it's like his hands are behind him. It's very silly, and I posted it because I feel fine about it, but sometimes when I talk about Dear Evan Hansen, I'm like, I'm sure Ben Platt is a great guy, and am I hurting Ben Platt's feelings? And I'm like, you know what, he has bigger fish to fry than my one off statement on this podcast, you know.
high five off. No, but I get that. I actually, I had a moment yesterday where I was like, I do kind of feel bad for Ben Platt. Everyone is really shitting on him right now. But yeah, at the same time, like, he doesn't help himself. He looks 28. Do you know what I mean? Like, he should have had the wherewithal to, like, understand that. He also got his stupid ass on a podcast and was like, well, if it wasn't for me, the movie wouldn't have been made. And it's like, wasn't for your fucking dad. Shut up. Like, I just, like, don't think he helped himself throughout the whole situation. So I don't feel that bad about it. And also, like, if you can't laugh about it, like, what he should be doing, honestly, my PR move here would just be, like, laugh about it. Just be like, oh, my God, yeah, I look fucking old. Just he embrace say, it and laugh about it.
He should be posting a lot of how do you do fellow kids type things.
Yes, exactly. He should be just fully embracing it. And instead, he's just, like, acting like a little bitch. And that's why people are making fun of him. Sorry, I said what I said. Like, that's just the truth. Like, I mean, what did you think was going to happen? You look old as shit, man.
Well, then here's my question. Do you think that this will affect his career negatively at all?
No, I don't think so. I mean, what? He's, what career? Like, he's on, what, The Politician? And
I mean, listen, he, for like the,
he'll be fine.
He'll be, I think he'll be fine. But because, and that's the thing that I feel bad about is that, yes, he has definitely not played the right cards. But at the end of the day, his fault was that he was born to a very powerful producer, but he also happens to be very talented. And so he, if my dad was like, hey, do you want to make $1 million in a Broadway musical turned movie with Amy Adams, but you're maybe a little too old for it? I don't think my first thought is like, no, but I'm too old. My thought's gonna be like, Amy Adams?
Yeah.
So I think that he was between a rock and an old place. And like, I think that, what would I have done? I can't tell you this, Gus. I can't.
Here's what I really genuinely believe is I believe that Ben Platt's career now is in such a literally rock and, yeah, an old place, a rock and a hard place, where like, if Ben Platt is a fucking asshole nightmare to work with, no, his career will not continue after this.
Right.
If Ben Platt is genuinely a lovely individual who made just a stupid mistake just to be in this movie, mm-hmm. his career will be fine.
Right.
And so, like, I think that we will see which version of Ben Platt is the real version based on how that plays out. That's what I genuinely believe.
A very good point. And I'm not just saying this to, like, cover my own ass. I really feel like from the people I've heard, I think he probably is a pretty chill, cool person that's definitely good to work with. But, like, I think just he's learning the cards to be dealt. And I hope he takes your advice. I hope he puts a spin and, like, makes fun of himself because that's, like, the best possible way. But I think that, you know, that's funny is that the reason why I was at an airport to begin with to film that video is because I was at this wedding this past weekend for one of my high school friends. And as I've gotten older, I've really connected more with these high school girls. And this last week on this podcast, we were talking about how, like, gays and their girls is such a strong, tight bond. And, like, this weekend was such an example of that. And the reason why I thought of it, of bringing this up, is because one of your tweets actually was about when you get older, you find out how many of your old classmates are gay now. And when we get together, we, like, compare notes about, like, where people are, of course. And you know what's really crazy is that, like, I came out the last month of senior year of high school. There were a few other gay people from my class, for a pretty small class. But randomly, I went to high school in St. Louis, Missouri, and we have multiple trans people that have come out for my year. How crazy is that?
Wow. That is insane.
Isn't it? Like, there was this person who was a kind of quiet person. I didn't know very well, but she is now a gorgeous trans woman living her truth. And I think it is beautiful that we are in a world that's becoming more available to have resources to do this. But I also, like, I think it's going to be the same thing as it was with queer people in many sense of, like, gays and lesbians and bi people, is that so many more of us are queer than we have been open to even exploring ourselves. And so my question for you is, does your high school class have there been a lot of new out gay people?
You know, what's funny is I think that there's definitely a lot of guys that have come out now that I've been like, oh, okay. But, like, actually not. Well, there were trans people in my school. We had a teacher, we had a substitute. It was a student and then later a substitute teacher who transitioned female to male. And that was interesting because I was like 16, 17 when that was happening.
Wow.
And so that was my first kind of, like, real experience with trans people. And I actually have to be honest with you, I didn't handle it well. Like, yeah. I think that the whole class around us didn't really handle it well. I think that there was enough people surrounding her at the time that, like, we were able to, like, navigate, like, how to talk about it. But at first, it was really jarring. And I think a lot of us were, like, dumb fucking teenagers about it. And, like, me included, I definitely would put myself in, like, I made snide remarks. I said stupid shit. The problem was that this person also was a fucking asshole. So, you know what I mean? So it was like, that didn't help either. And I think it, and it's funny because now they're awesome and I love them and I see them all the time. And I think it was just a hard time in, you know, his life.
Yeah.
And because he was transitioning and he
in front of a bunch of shitty high school kids.
Exactly. Exactly. And we weren't, you know, probably the keenest to that experience. Right. And so like, right. But like, I think that it took a little while to navigate it. But eventually, like, by like year two, we were all like totally on board. And we were like, yeah, like Elijah, like me included. I think it just took some time again, because we were shitty teenagers. And then once you teach the shitty teenagers how to react and to adapt and to learn, they're going to do that like right away. Like teenagers are like very absorbent in that way.
Right. Which I think is actually a very positive way to look at it, is that even with a really shitty first reaction, in the long run, it teaches you at a young age like to accept people. And, you know, I think that high school is just such a shitty time for so many people. And I cannot imagine someone going through such a transformative experience in front of that age group. Because even when I was hanging out with my friends this weekend, we would talk about people from our class. And I think the thesis statement is that a lot of the guys that I went to high school with who were like straight bro-y dudes were like kind of dicks. And I don't think I'll get in trouble for saying this. I just think that while some of them have evolved and have actually grown up to be pretty, pretty cool, down to earth guys that are like open to how the world is now, there are still people who are complete assholes. And I think that while I love having a relationship with these friends and like I would not change it for anything, I think that, I don't know about you, but there was high school for me was both empowering and amazing and also like really fucking hard and traumatic in ways. And I'm curious, were you out in high school, or what was your vibe in high school?
Well, I mean, I was, like I said, it was bi 60-40. I mean, bullshit. You know what I mean? Like everyone really knew.
Did
everyone
you actually say 60-40?
I did. I used to say it all the time too. So
wait, 60% into women or men?
No, 60% into men and 40% into, I mean, it made no sense. There was no logic. There was no rhyme or reason to it. I had a similar experience. I was like, I loved high school. I had a great time. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying like, I wish I could be back, but I'm saying like, I had a great high school experience. Mm-hmm. And all my close friends are all my high school friends still to this day. And we're all killing it. You know what I mean? Like in our own individual ways. Yeah, I liked high school.
Was it
in
New York?
Yeah, it was in Brooklyn. I went to Fort Hamilton High School. 4,500 kids.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And you still had a, God, I mean, 4,500 kids. That, so were there, was there even that Mean Girls moment of like, this is the table of these people? Was it still like separate in that way?
It was like, it wasn't like, you know, here are the this and that. It was actually more because it was such a multicultural school, because like Bay Ridge is just like a lot of different cultures. Mm-hmm. It was like the honors kids all hung out with the honors kids. It was like the music kids, the band kids were band kids, theater kids were theater kids, chorus. But then there was like these are the Puerto Rican kids, these are the Dominican kids, the Greek kids, the Chinese kids, like the Korean gang, like the whole, like, that's how, like, it really split off, to be honest.
So were you in a Greek gang and like a different?
No, I actually, no, because I didn't join the Greek gang. I wasn't part of the Greek gang. My brothers, though, I was about to say, like, my brothers, though, were like the head honchos of like the Greek posse when they were in high school.
Oh, shit.
You went to the same high school. They were like head honchos of the Greek posse. It was like a whole big deal. And they used to cut class all the time and go to McDonald's. But if they couldn't get into McDonald's, they would light fires in the garbage cans just to keep warm in the winter because they just didn't want to go to class. And I'm like, that's just stupid. And it would be all the Greek posse kids like smoking cigarettes. Yeah, I'd rather risk frostbite than just go to Spanish class. Like, you fucking idiot.
So then if I were to characterize your cousins as the hot guy, Joey Fatone and his brother in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, would that be like the types of people your cousins were?
Yeah. My brothers. Yeah.
Your brothers. Yes. Yeah. So, wow. Wait. So what group were you in high school then if you weren't with the Greek gang?
I was the honors kid and the theater kids. That was my groups. Theater kids. Oh, and the leadership kids, because I was the school treasurer.
Guys, come on now.
I was involved. Let me tell you, I was involved. I did theater. I did chorus. I did leadership. I was the school treasurer. I was the school mascot.
Talk about the politician every morning.
Oh, yeah, I know. Ben Platt has nothing on me, okay? I did the announcements every morning. I would do, like, the Pledge of Allegiance. It was the gayest Pledge of Allegiance ever.
I'm waving through this intercom. Oh, wow, that's good.
Like,
wait.
Literally, yeah.
I'm getting such a vivid image here. But speaking of being a theater kid then, did you watch the Tonys last night?
No, I did not. You know what? I don't want to watch. I just, like, I hate award shows. They're just, like, terrible and outdated, just to be honest. I know people love them and I get it and I know it's a big Twitter thing, but it's just like, I don't know, in 2021 I can watch the highlights.
Oh, truly. We almost did not watch it just because of A, they were from the 2019-2020 Tony Award season. B, there was even a category where one person was nominated for like best lead actor, I guess, in a musical. He was the only nominee. Aaron Tveit was the only nominee. So they were like, and the nominees are Aaron Tveit, and the winner is. And then he's still, and I'm like, I'm going to drag him a little. He still got up there and started crying about this award. And I was like, I understand it's a huge deal. But doesn't any part of you feel almost robbed of the full experience knowing that there just weren't any other options?
Right. Also, like, Aaron Tveit, you do TV. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, he's a quintessential straight musical theater guy. But the thing is that I will always love theater. Always love Broadway. Like, God, I just know, like, the industry is so fucked in so many ways, and I don't even want to get into all of it. But I always like asking people when they were in high school, especially because yours was so huge. I need to know what shows you were in, like, what that culture was.
So my freshman year, I wasn't in it, but we did Annie Get Your Gun. Ooh. And I went to go see Annie Get Your Gun. And there was like two dudes in the cast that were like so hot. Mm. So then like that at the end of that year, my friend was like, oh, I want to audition next year. And I was like, oh, maybe those two hot guys are gay. They weren't. Well, actually, one of them is now.
Yes.
He totally is now.
Is he still hot?
He is. For the purposes of this podcast, yes, he's still hot. Like, no, I mean, like, low-key, like, would I still tap that? Yeah, 100%. But he was one of those guys that, like, came out of the closet and got a boyfriend right away. And now is, like, still with that boyfriend.
Oh, my God, he is? Wait, can you? Okay, yeah. I mean, maybe off mic, I'll ask some more questions about this guy, but continue.
Yeah. But then the first thing I did was Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Ooh.
And, yeah, I loved Thoroughly Modern Millie. I just want to point out, in every music, because I don't want you to ask me, and just every time, I was in the ensemble every single time.
Listen,
because I can't sing. I'm not
a
singer.
But we love a chorus boy. Were you tap dancing in Millie?
Yes, we were. But I was the dance captain, because I was a really good dancer.
God.
So I was, like, big dancer. So I was always in the ensemble. And then, in junior year, we were, like, the first high school in New York to do Rent. Yes. That was pretty cool. That was really cool.
I'm truly, like, my jaw's on the floor. Like, was this theater program pretty huge because it was such a huge school?
It was, like, you know, I mean, it was known for its good productions, but it's not like there was, like, any more or less money in it than any other public school in New York.
Oh, my God, that you did Rent. Yeah. Okay, so I'm still, we did, so Annie Get Your Gun was your freshman year. You weren't in that. You then, this school then did Thoroughly Modern Millie. Then it was Rent.
Yes.
Then what?
And then it was, okay, so wait, I also did Macbeth.
Oh, shit.
And then I think, oh, and then in senior year, I did Tartuffe. That was terrible. We were terrible. That was a terrible production. And it was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Holy, your school had some good. Oh, wait, yeah. your face is saying was it not good?
Well, I mean, it just was a weird choice after Rent. Like, I think that, like, because, like, I think that with Rent, like, it was such a big deal. And, like, everyone came out to see Rent. And the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is kind of like a very niche, like, thing. And
it was a letdown compared to Rent.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? So it's actually very similar for me because my junior year, we did Oliver, which I was first kind of bummed about, but I got to play Fagin, which, like, ended up being like, oh, wow, I get to put ugly makeup on and like, I feel like a real actor. And that was, like, famously where I actually also had a girlfriend and hooked up with her at the cast party, if you can imagine.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I took my prosthetic nose off, my already big nose, and then
Stop
was...
it.
But then... our senior year, I was like, okay, this is it, girls. My senior year musical. I cannot wait to play Joan of Arc. Like, I don't know who, what I was expecting to have, but we did The Wizard of Oz. And
okay,
it was a choice. It was a choice. And I did play the Scarecrow. And I don't like look back and I'm being like, God, thank God I got to do. Because the thing is, the movie, of course, is the best thing of all time. But when your high school chooses to do The Wizard of Oz, I think it's like, okay.
Yeah, that's a strange choice. We did Hairspray the year after I left.
Were you devastated to miss it?
I was a little devastated, but it's so funny because my high school was so, like, it was just, there weren't enough white people for the cast, so some of the white cast members were Asian.
Wait. There weren't enough white people?
There weren't enough white people for, like, the white part of the cast. And especially there weren't enough, like, good enough white singers to play the lead roles. And so, like, our Link was fully Asian.
Yes, come on, Asian
and, like,
Link.
During one of the performances, like, he said something like, I don't know, I'm Asian. You guys are supposed to hate me. It's the 60s. And then just, like, started playing the song. It was hysterical.
Because they don't know Asian or black. Yeah.
It was literally so funny.
That is such a beautiful New York experience, though. Because I think, like, I know you've heard of different high schools who have done, like, musicals where they didn't have enough black people, like Aida a full, like, and like, I'm not gonna cancel my high school, but I will say quietly, I'm like, that we did Once on This Island and we had more white people than black people, and listen, I don't think they would do that anymore, but I really wish I could have seen Hairspray at your high school. Damn, that must have been so good. And Asian Link, come on now.
It was awesome. Honestly, it was a great production. And then I think we did Legally Blonde and Eight Misbehaving. So it was good. We had a good run after.
I'm not joking. Before I move out of New York, I need to go see your show at your high school.
It's honestly great. I would go with you because I've gone back to see a bunch of them because I love it. You know what I mean? Like,
are you a star when you visit your high school?
I a little bit. Like, I go back and, like, a lot of people know him. Like, all the teachers are like, oh my God, it's Gus. Like, they just loved me. I, like, loved all my teachers. I just had a great high school experience.
Oh, I love that. And
I
also,
just love it. Yeah.
You're like the gay celeb coming out of your school. But also, I saw that you tweeted that someone saw you on the train and they were like, is that Gus? And they're like, no, he's too short. It's not him.
Oh my God, literally this happened last night. I was, like, so tired. I did 7 shows this weekend, so I was, like, exhausted coming back home. And I, like, got on the train and I put my hoodie on and I was like, I'm not gonna engage. And these people walk in and they're Greek and I was like, oh no, this is like my biggest nightmare right now, please. And then, like, literally one of them, like, they even said, like, they were like, hey sir, they tried to get my attention and I really was like, I can't talk to you, please. And I also took an edible, you know what I mean? You have to imagine,
sure.
Like, I was just, like, not in the right headspace at all. And so I was just like, oh no. And then they were like, I'm sure that's him. I mean, I think so. And then the dude was like, I don't know. He can't be that short in real life. And I was like, oh no. They started dragging me. They were like, no, I think that's him. I mean, I think he likes, I was wearing like a Scream, a sweatshirt.
Sure.
And they're like, I think he likes that movie. And I was like, that is so weird. It was so weird. I was like, okay. Thankfully, they got off like a few stops later, but I was like, this is so strange.
I'm obsessed that they're having a full out loud conversation. And
oh, yeah.
It feels like like a secret camera show where it's like, do you know that clip of, it's like, what would you do? And this guy's talking about how he likes both guys and girls and doesn't know what to do. And then this, like, random stranger is like, you're bi. You're bi. Have you seen that clip?
No, I haven't.
It's so iconic. I mean, talking about 60-40, it's like this guy is just like talking about like what he is into. And I guess I don't remember the full clip, but this literal stranger is listening to it. And like, she just goes up to him. She's like, let me tell you something. You are bisexual. And it's like, come on. We need an ally. We stand our diner. It was in a diner. And it's all full circle.
Speaking of diners, our cast parties were all at the Bridgeview Diner.
Oh, my God. Really full circle.
Let me tell you, it was lit. It was lit.
Those poor servers. Those poor servers.
No, we got a whole back room to ourselves. We were living, honey.
God, this is taking me back. I don't really miss high school, but I do miss a cast party. We would go to a Steak and Shake in St. Louis. That's where we would do it. And God, did I.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, well, actually, so Full Circle is this podcast asks a very famous question. And I'm going to ask you now, Gus. This question is, Gus, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to go with Robin in Batman and Robin was definitely a formative moment, which I didn't realize until recently was like a lot of people's very formative moment.
Very much so.
And that lip thing. Remember the lip thing with Poison Ivy? That yes. scene where he like, I was always so fucking confused about that scene. And then I saw a TikTok about it where it was like, yeah, he put on plastic lips. So when she kissed him, he wouldn't get poisoned.
Right.
And then he pulled it off. And I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. I never understood it, but I thought it was so hot. I was like, I wish I could pull off my lips. It was so strange.
I mean, his lips alone, just like the shape of them. He probably was wearing some gloss on top of it. And then, of course, the pecs in the suit where you fully see nipples on a fully yes. like plastic bodysuit.
There's all those butt shots.
Oh my God. I'm getting revved up thinking. And also, I think Batman and Robin canonically have a gay air around them. And not only, I literally have talked about him on this podcast, and every time I have to ask, his name is what? Chris, is it Chris Donnell?
I think it's Chris O'Donnell. Yeah,
you're right. You're right. Oh my God. I wonder what he's up to these days. Oh my God. He is so hot.
I really hope and pray that he makes like a video on TikTok that's just like, hey, gay guys, you're welcome. Do you know what I mean? That's all I need him to say. I just want to be well aware of the fact.
Well, I do want to let you know that in 2016, he was sued by a fitness trainer over daughter's alleged chain collision car crash. So that's tough, Chris. Sorry about that.
You know what else? I think the Magna Defender in the Power Rangers was also responsible for me being gay.
The Magna Defender?
The Magna Defender Lost Galaxy Power Rangers.
Oh, I found it.
I'm just trying to figure out who was playing. Michael Corbett was, I think, the guy who was playing. Let me see.
I'm looking at a full bodysuit of a man, and like he has two yellow horns on top of his full bodysuit. You can't see a single face.
But look at the actor that plays him. He's so hot. Michael Corbett.
Did Michael Corbett's face ever, was he ever seen in the movie?
No, he was out of the costume a lot.
Oh, I see. Okay. Michael Corbett, Power Rangers. Oh, yeah. No,
do you
see
what I mean? Yeah. In fact, I even remember telling my, like at a very, very, very young age, I even remember telling my dad something like, oh, I really like this guy. And my dad kind of being like, what?
There's just something about him. I mean, I've seen so many things about like people that I felt really strongly about, especially among I think gay women, where they like really had a strong reaction to like if their friend had like done something to them, or like if like they had really high standards for some of their best girlfriends and like didn't know why they were reacting so strongly, or like things that are so obvious now that are gay, but like back in those days of being obsessed with certain, of course, movies and characters and actors. Like, there's some tweet I saw that was like, growing up, gay men think they want to like sleep with these strong female personalities, but they realize they just want to be them, or like they're having the obsession. Like, mine was really Beyonce. I mean, it's almost cliche, but I, in seventh grade, had to create like a year-end collection of my work, and I had to do different chapters for it, and all the chapters were different performers, and like Beyonce was one of them, and I was like, yeah, I'm in love with Beyonce. I have a big crush on her, when really, I love that she played Foxy Cleopatra in Austin Powers, and I loved her big hair and her swagger. Like, that was, I, looking back, a seventh grade boy being like, I'm so in love with Beyonce. Did you see her shoes? It's like, no, you're not in love with her. You want to walk in the shoes.
Right. That for me was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Very relatable as well.
That was like, I wanted to be Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I would even like, there was like in the backyard of my parents' house, I would take like a long stick and like pretend to like, do you know what I mean? Like pretend to like, you know, whatever. It was like so stupid. I was like so
Funny. It's so good though, because I in the backyard would not do Buffy. I would do Pippi Longstockings. I would I like make my babysitter be like, okay, I'm Pippi Longstockings, and now there's a big storm. We have to steer the boat out of this horrible storm. And she was like, okay, fuck. I mean, it was like that. If anyone listening to this as a kid also loved Pippi Longstocking or Buffy, that you were not alone. God, those answers are so good though. And it's always so funny to me how it's always like something kind of vampire-y or Buffy-like or Halloween adjacent, or also like Power Rangers or action figures or X-Men related. But there's something about it, like the full body suits, the, I don't know, performative masculinity. I'm not sure, but I will say that Halloween is coming up. Are you a big Halloween person every year, or are we over it?
Oh yeah. No, I'm a big Halloween person. Here's the thing though. I don't dress up. Like, I don't need a whole costume situation. It's mm-hmm. not about, like, for me, it's not about dressing up in a costume. I'm happy to be Ghostface from Scream every year for sure. The rest of my life. I love those movies. Those are my favorite movies. I will die watching those movies.
Did you see that? I think that first costume piece, where did I see this? That it was such so low budget that the first Scream mask was just a costume of William Shatner that they spray painted white.
No, that's the Halloween mask. That's the Michael Myers mask.
You're right. Yeah. That's the Halloween mask. Thank you.
Yeah.
What do you do for Halloween? Are you going to like a big like party with your high school friends that you always have?
So I love watching other people's costumes. I love like, I might go trick-or-treating with my niece and nephew this year, like, low-key, just because, like, why not? You know what I mean?
Why not?
That's why people have kids, right? So you can go trick-or-treating with them.
I mean.
And, like, to raise children, yeah. But I love horror movies. Like, horror movies are my favorite thing in the whole world. Like, I mean, I'm literally wearing a Freddy Krueger shirt right now.
You
I mean,
are.
It's just so full. Funny.
Okay, the Patreon subscribers will see that gorgeous shirt and your gorgeous face. Continue.
I also love, like, I mean, I just love like going to haunted houses. I love like those Halloween horror night shits that they do. Like when I lived in LA, because I lived in LA for 3 years, and mm-hmm. LA's like, I hated LA, but LA turns it the fuck out for Halloween. They love Halloween in LA because it's a bunch of homosexuals. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
In the film industry. So it's like, that's what
it's
it is.
Big budge. But it's full scale big budge.
Yes. And I would go to all, like, there was a group of friends of mine in LA that would organize like weekly and sometimes bi-weekly, like, going to haunted houses, and we would go together as a group. And I would go to ones that you had to like sign an NDA and you had to go in alone. And it was like a crazy experience. Yeah, I love that shit.
Oh, that's see, I don't like a haunted house as much, but that I would do. That sounds so good.
I did one where like they start you off and you're doing yoga because you're in LA. And all of a sudden they like put a bag over your head and like pull you into another room. And then you have to like crawl under these like crazy things with a bag over your head and you don't know what you're doing. And then as you're crawling, you start feeling something and it's a body.
Do you
and
know
the
what?
Body like
I
comes
take
up
it
and
back.
Like pulls you out.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna do that
it was
one.
Crazy.
A little too high stakes for me.
Oh yeah. These are like nuts. I mean, they were like, you have to sign a whole thing saying like, you can't sue us, you can't do this, people
they're
are
like
touch
because
you.
There is a 50-50 chance you will not walk out alive.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, Halloween is so big for so many people. Like Matt is obsessed and we're moving to LA soon. And we are like, he is so looking forward to the Halloween of it all in LA because he's heard of the high budge, high stakes, haunted houses, Universal Studio, like all of that stuff. So I'm looking forward to him enjoying it and I'll just eat the candy because listen, I do miss trick-or-treating. Like if you were to go trick-or-treating with your niece and nephew, what is the candy you were stealing from their bags?
Kit Kat.
Ooh.
I love a Kit Kat.
I do. I mean, a Kit Kat, you can't go wrong. Do you eat them one by one or are you a monster that takes a bite out of the whole four pack?
No, I don't take a bite out of the four pack, but I'll just, I know I don't do that. I'm not a monster.
Thank you.
Or a Hershey Kiss or M&M's.
Huh. So you don't go for the peanut butter ones?
I do. No, a peanut butter M&M is the best M&M.
I do love a peanut butter. What about like a Reese's Cup?
No.
Who hurt you? Why? Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know what? People love Reese's cups. I don't like Reese's.
But give me a reason because I'm not going to let it go. Give me a reason.
They're nasty.
What? These are horrible reasons, Gus. You're like, doing labeling terms here and I need to have an actual reason behind it.
I don't like Reese's. I don't like Reese's. I'm so sorry. I don't like Snickers either.
Is it the texture?
I don't know what it is. I think it's too much peanut butter.
Oh.
And I don't like too much peanut. I actually don't like too much peanut butter.
Okay. I respect
that.
That's
what I like about a peanut butter
M&M. That's
a
reason.
I don't really like peanut butter a lot.
Then what about Snickers? How do you feel?
Nope.
Okay, too much. Yeah, there's it's a lot of peanut. What about
it's too much peanut?
What else is famous on Halloween? We've said a lot of them. Oh, do you ever do Wait, what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say I don't like Twix either, and like Twix is another thing that people love.
You know what? Twix, I can if I have to fuck with the Twix, I will. But I think that for me, it's like the caramel gets a little too stringy. I don't want to look like disgusting.
Yeah.
Man, now I just want some candy. It's Halloween season is among us, and I can't wait. Well, as we are getting towards the final chapter of this episode, I wanna go on to a very difficult, controversial question that I know you'll have an opinion about. If the world was ending and you could only save one character actress, who would it be, Gus?
You know what? I'm gonna go with I don't even know if she's a character actress, but I'm just gonna say Sandra Bullock.
Oh my God, no one said that, Gus. And that's actually...
You know what?
Every week we try to unpack what it means to be a character actress. And I think that Sandra is going to be another controversial take. Ring the bell. I wish I had those like buttons for sound effects. Like, beep, beep, beep. Because like last week we talked about Nicole Kidman and that's the internet was ablaze. But I think Sandra Bullock, Gus, what are your favorite movies of hers that come to mind?
Okay, well, let me tell you. Speed?
Yes.
That is a great movie.
Great movie.
Speed... is an amazing movie. I used to watch it. My dad told me that I used to watch Speed so many times. Like he rented it from Blockbuster and I watched it so many times that the tape like ran out. Like it started to wear thin. And like I ruined the VHS tape. And
oh my God, that's how you know.
For the whole thing. Yeah, it was shit. I loved that movie. But I rewatched it during the pandemic because it was on HBO Max at some point. And let me tell you, it holds up. It holds up so well. It is a master class in suspense building. It really, really is. It just gets so intense and like so, it always is heightening. It's always heightening.
Yes.
It's so good. Sandra Bullock is amazing in it. She's just amazing. And like, listen, I can see why people would argue that she's not technically a character actress because I think that character actresses are mostly affiliated with television. But like Miss Congeniality is the greatest movie of all time.
Agree.
So shut the fuck up.
I mean, it's in my top five. I think that if I were to argue, is Miss Congeniality, is she a character actress in that movie? I would say I would probably say yes, because she has to play Gracie Lou Freebush. She has to play a very gruff cop. She has to play, I mean, many arrays of different characters. And she goes, has a full physical transformation that I would say very much means a character actress. Also, I think she's, as she's getting older, kind of in the Nicole Kidman way, she is choosing more roles that are more of the character actress realm. Like, it was maybe a little more ingenuity, but what's that movie where recently came out in the past few years where she had to wear a blindfold and the world was ending?
Oh, Bird Box.
I mean, it's called Bird Box. Like, I don't care what the character is. It's such an absurd idea that we'll just consider it character actress. But Sandra, Sandy, as apparently her friends call her, I think that she deserves the world. And I think that she is a character actress because she is ever the fuck whatever she wants to be and what we want her to be.
And in fact, like, I can't name a Sandra Bullock movie that I've seen that I didn't like. Like, yeah. There's a ton I haven't seen, just to be fair. But here are the ones, like, Bird Box is great. She was great in Ocean's 8. She was great in
Ocean's
8.
So good. So good.
So good in Ocean's 8. The Heat?
I didn't see it.
The Heat. Oh my God, The Heat is so good. I saw that movie, like, I saw that movie three times, and it was back to back to back, because I loved it so much. I literally saw it one night, and I laughed my ass off, and then the next day, I saw it with my dad, and he laughed his ass off.
Wait, give me the elevator pitch. What is The Heat about?
The Heat is about Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock making you fucking laugh your ass off for an hour and 45 minutes.
Sold.
It's so good. It's like her playing a cop again, and it's so good. Even The Blind Side, like, listen, people have a lot to say about The Blind Side.
They do.
She's good in that movie, and she won an Oscar, and whatever. Gravity.
Fuck
yeah, Gravity. I loved Gravity. Are you kidding me? I loved it. Her dead daughter. I loved her and her dead daughter, okay? I love
Wait,
that
are you,
movie.
Is that in Gravity? Or is the movie called The Dead Daughter?
No, Gravity. There's the whole plot line where she's like, my daughter died.
Right.
She was picking up the mail or some shit and my daughter died. It was some.
I mean, listen, if Sandra Bullock was in a movie called Dead Daughter, I'd see it.
I would. And it would be great. Great. I'm just saying. Also, The Proposal with Betty White.
Yes.
Amazing.
That's like one of the first that comes to mind is that The Proposal. It's like she, I don't care.
Yes.
You know what? If she could do another romantic comedy in the near future, I think that would be the biggest gift to humanity. And I think like climate change would be fixed. I think it would really like a, it would be, do a big change to the world.
And I love, what's the other one? You know what? I liked Miss Congeniality too. It was trash, but I liked it. It doesn't matter. 2 Weeks Notice, also a great movie.
Yeah, Sandy cannot do any wrong. And I feel like she really works selectively these days. And who are we to fault her for that? She has a gorgeous child or children. And do you remember, who was she married to that was kind of controversial?
Oh, I don't remember.
He's on that motorcycle show. I think he was low-key kind of hot, but also high-key, like trash.
Jesse James?
Yeah, yes, that's him.
There you go.
Jesse James. Wow. Well, honestly, the first That's a Gay Ass Movie episode I did was about Miss Congeniality. I could quote that movie backwards and forwards. They're like, on actually making a full circle about New York, the woman that plays Miss New York, who is the lesbian, like, she's like, you're a Don Ho. What are her other lines I love so much? I mean, she like has a full breakdown on stage.
When she has that breakdown on stage, it's so good. I also watched Miss Congeniality over the pandemic because I hadn't seen it in a long time. And it holds up, okay? It holds up.
The only controversial take, because I think it does hold up. I think it's so good. What they made Michael Caine do a couple of times to be like, I'm gay and creepy, that was a little bit tough to watch, but it did not take away from the perfection of the movie because...
Yeah, that's true.
But maybe I was just looking for things to like, if anybody wants to cancel it, I don't like that part too. But like, she is just, I mean, first of all, any sort of makeover sequence, I will get behind.
Yeah. Also the scene, every time I think about it every time a car almost hits me in New York, where she's like, hey, I'm gliding here. I think about it every day.
There's and so she's like wide walking down the street.
Yeah. It's so good. It's such a good movie.
You want it a million.
How many times a week does that get stuck in your... Because that song is a banger.
Also,
I cannot tell you how many times I'm like just walking through Dorian Reed, just being like, she's beauty and she's grace. She's queen of 50 states.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
So have you ever like, I don't know, like broken the law?
Well, there was this one time.
Oh, well, listen, before we say goodbye, I didn't prep you on this because I wanted to have you just give me an off-the-cuff answer. Before we say goodbye on That's a Gay Ass Podcast, I want to ask another question, which is, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film? Do you have an answer?
Ooh, you know what? That's a good question, because I also watched both Sister Acts for the very, very first time.
First time?
Over the pandemic. Yeah, I had never seen them before. I don't know. It's just like a blip in my, movie history that I have never watched them. But I did watch them over the pandemic.
Give me the opinion. What was it?
I loved both of them. The thing is, the problem with the second Sister Act movie is that it's not the same movie. It's like a movie that they wrote to be a kid's movie that they were like, oh, we'll just make this the Sister Act sequel. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a white savior movie featuring Whoopi Goldberg that they didn't intend to give to Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, you're right, because Bette Midler was supposed to get it.
Bette Midler was supposed to do Sister Act 2, or she was supposed to do that version of the movie.
Right.
Of whatever it was. So it was supposed to be a white savior story about, like, Bette Midler coming to these, like, underprivileged kids.
Oh,
and then they just, like, shoved, like, the Sister Act kind of brand over it. And it really feels that way.
I've never heard this, and this is my number one of all time. And because I've never heard this, I'm not going to have an instant rebuking of you right now. I'm not going to say you're a bad person. I'm not going to say you're after me and my family. What I will say is that I can't believe that Sister Act 2 was not originally written as just like a sequel to the first one, and that there was going to be something else. I'm going to have to do more research on this. But are you saying that you like Sister Act 1 more than 2? Or which one, if you could look back on it, which one do you like better?
What I'm saying is I love them both equally, actually.
Okay.
I think they're both great. Yeah. I think that, like, it's just that was the only thing that I like watching Sister Act 2. I was like, oh, this kind of just doesn't feel the same. There's something, like, different about this. And, like, I could tell where like the script rewrite came in at a certain point, I guess.
Oh, sure,
like,
sure.
I could tell where they were like, oh yeah, we're making this a Whoopi Goldberg movie at a certain point. And I think, I mean, I read that. I've heard that from multiple sources that's how they were supposed to do the movie. But I mean, again, like that also happened in the 90s a lot, where it was just like they had a script and they just like put a franchise over it. Where like a lot of sequels were just like things that they just
right. They like Frankenstein to make it fit into the original.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
It would make sense, but I mean, I don't know if you're going to find too much research about it because it's just something I've heard from just different people. But
yeah.
All this to say, both sister acts are fucking great. And the first one especially is just so good. I mean, they're really just very fun.
And that is a great answer and also great conversation. So everyone listening, if you want to chime in, if you've heard other things about this 1 and 2 situation, come on now, let me know. Gus, I want to thank you so much for coming on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. What do you want to plug before you say goodbye?
Great. So I'm headlining Stand Up New York at the end of the month, October 29th. I'll be
October
doing an hour.
October 29th, yes.
If you're in New York.
That is amazing. Gosh, Gus, you are such a star. Thank you so much for coming on. I put your social media in the description. If you're not already following Gus, you know you're going to now. And Gus, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to That's the Gayest Podcast this week, my friends. That was Gus Constantelis. Follow him on all social media. He's a star in all of it. TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, it's all good. Follow me at Eric Wills, and the podcast Instagram is at Gay Ass Podcast. And if you're still on the fence about the Patreon, just go to patreon.com/gayasspodcast. You can see this full video and get an inside scoop on which guests are to come. I do want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for still listening after that disgusting story up top. I did realize that the hurricane was probably not food poisoning. I just have a weak constitution, and my friend who lived in New Orleans for a while told me it's just a lethal combination of alcohol and sugar. So if you end up going, I hope you fare better than I did. Because like Matt and my friend Alex both were fine, so I don't know why it chose me, but I am one of the chosen people. Jewish and sensitive tummy. Make sure to come back next week and enjoy the rest of your week, my friends. I love y'all. Have a gay as hell day. Mwah.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.